following financial professionals have asked the following question to us. Philippe Orpatian, ODDO, Fernando Lafuente, Alandra, Meike Becker, HSBC, Manuel Palomo, BNP Paribas, Pedro Alves, CaixaBank, Gonzalo Sánchez Bordona, UBS, Robert Poulin, Morgan Stanley, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Peter Vistiga, Bank of America, Pablo Cuadrado, JB Capital Markets, Jorge Alonso, Bernstein Societe Generale, Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, Dominic Nash, Barclays, Javier Garrido, JP Morgan, and finally James Brand, Deutsche Bank. The first one is, can you provide more details on the main factors driving the expected double-digit growth in net profit for 2025 and clarify how the exclusion of capital gains from asset rotations and the inclusion of cap allowances in the UK impact this guidance?
So, as I mentioned, we expect double-digit growth on adjusted net profit to more than 6.2 billion euros, even excluding past cost recognition in New York, which is 389 million euros. Although together close to 6.6 billion euros. Pepe, but I don't know if you would like to clarify more, a bit more details.
Yeah, well, thank you, Chairman. Well, as I commented, these numbers exclude specifically the capital gains from basically in Mexico, with an impact of 1,165 million euros, and the smart meters in the UK with 381 million euros, both at the net profit level. Okay, and it includes, as we presented in the Capital Markets Day, the cap allowances in the UK. As you can see in the slide, 190 million for 25 and 81 million in 24. Obviously, for the end of the year, that will add a little bit more, okay?
Okay, second question. Can you please provide guidance for net debt at 12 months 2025?
Yes, we're expecting the net debt by the year end to be around 51 billion euros. This is excluding the potential collection of the Mexico divestment. We are not including that in this guidance, but we are including the acquisition of the previous sale of the neo stake in this 51 billion guidance. This will be even with all these things below the 24 close of over 51 billion euros at the end of 24.
Next is regarding the use of capital gains. How will the capital gains from recent asset transaction be used in the future?
So capital gain, as you know, from asset transaction will be applied as always to future efficiencies, just to improve the future results.
Next is regarding the battery storage. Our view of this success or this upcoming business for the sector.
Well, I think now we talk about batteries, we will start talking about storage 25 years ago. I think, as you remember, my first presentation, we were talking about renewables, we are talking about networks, and we are talking about storage. I think we've been making renewables, we have been making networks, and we have been making storage. So I think what we've been doing in storage during these 25 years is we've been upgrading our hydroelectric facilities, making most of our turbines reversible to become all those one bidirectional, making already pumping a storage plant. We have in this moment a capacity of 120,000 megawatt hours of capacity. I think it's a huge capacity we've already in storage. But also we are investing in batteries, especially where we don't have hydro facilities in our or we have no project. I think the main places is Australia. I think they have attractive spread of a support mechanism. And I think we have in this moment there more than 550 megawatt under construction. But as well, we have another countries. I think we have 200 megawatt in construction in Spain and the UK. And we have already more than 1,000 megawatt of project in our pipeline that will be built up depending on the capacity payment or grants they can be provided.
Next question is regarding the data center. What is the company strategy regarding the growing demand from data centers and what recent agreements have been signed with technological companies to supply energy?
So, as you know, data centers will be an important driver of demand growth, and that is not new for us. We have already, for many years, we've been signing PPAs with tech companies. In this moment, we have more than 12 terawatt hours a year so far of contracts of PPAs already signed with technology companies, mainly United States. But I think because we consider that that is an important driver of demand growth is why we are facilitating the expansion of data centers in those countries we have already means for helping the technology companies to invest and to expand. I think in this particular moment we have an agreement in Spain with Echelon, and the first project which is going to make a demand, energy demand of more than 1 terawatt hour a year is already ongoing, and we have another four other projects progressing. So we are active on those one because we consider then that is a driver for increase of the electricity demand, and that's why it is we would like to help these companies to do the necessary for making that happen.
Next one is regarding the market situation of the United States. Given the recent increase in demand from data centers and industry and the rising energy prices in certain U.S. states, is the company considering increasing its renewable ambition or pipeline? And the second question regarding to this is, how will these market trends impact your PPA strategy and asset development plans?
So I think you will respond, Pedro, but I think just to give you, it's true that in this moment, United States, the prices are rising, and our expectation is the prices will rise even more. I think it's the fact that the new CCGTs are built, this new CCGTs bill is going to make that the prices will increase because there are already is new power plant have to be already amortized toward those ones which are already just fully amortized. And I think those ones is pushing the prices up independent of the cost of the gas. But I think it's that is a good opportunity for us. I think it's a good opportunity because we have almost 40%, 30% of our fleet is in merchant. And I think the contract we have already with a long-term PPA signed is already let's say ending during a certain period. And I think that makes the renovation of this contract probably that is going to increase the prices. We are already making that. All in all, that is certainly a great opportunity of increase of value for our assets, renewable assets in the United States. And that is why the United States is there a tremendous, demand of buying existing renewable asset in operation. So, which I think, Pedro, you can already complete this comment. You agree.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. I think a couple of examples, Texas and Oregon, where the prices are already rising. And, you know, we operate already 3,400 megawatts in those states. In the short term, this benefits our merchant assets. And then it will be translated, as the chairman said, to the PPAs. And, for example, in those states, we have more than 4,000 megawatts of potential pipeline, to come. In the U.S. overall, we have 10,000 megawatts right now in operation. 30% of that is merchant and 70% is PPAs. The average PPA life is 10.7 years. I think there is an opportunity for life extension and repowering. Around 360 megawatts under construction in the US, 432 globally, and more than 800 megawatts of additional pipeline, 1,500 globally. So I think this is, good signs of what we can do right now to benefit from the demand increase.
Next is related to Spain. Can you provide an update on the blackout investigation and the causes that triggered the event?
I think during the last weeks, I has already had a lot of public reports, a lot of investigation, even in the Senate and in the different conference. And I think this public report said clearly that this was a result of lack of synchronous energy to provide energy in the system. So they say also that as more renewable enter into the system, supply becomes also variable. And I think that requires more synchronous energy. So the fact now the system operator has changed operation and is operating with more synchronous energy. So I think what is saying the public report and the public information is precisely what now is the system operator is already just doing. Certain that has an effect that is increasing the cost of ancillary services. which in our case, then we have most of our sales are under multi-annual contracts, is affecting to our results because we have not passed this extraordinary extra cost for our customers on all those ones we have a multi-year contract. As Pepe mentioned, that is in our case is close to 180 million euros effect in our accounts up to September.
Next is related to Spain as well. What is needed to extend the operation of the Almaraz nuclear plant? Is the 50% reduction in the Extremadura ecotasa sufficient to ensure its continued operations?
Well, I was. You were listening to me for many long time. Then the nuclear power plant are safe and are needed. So I think they are needed more than ever in this moment for avoiding potential blackout or potential problems in the service. Also, this power plant that you are talking about, they have a national international license, so which I think they allow them to operate at least up to 2030 without being forced to ask for any additional national international license of operation. But there's something very, very important. It's a national social demand in the country to maintain them operating. I think every week there are demonstrations. There are people writing of different tendencies, different ideas, different political parties, and the civil society are asking to maintain them operating. So for two reasons, because of this social responsibility and because the need of this power for keeping the lights on in the country and providing a safe, cheap service is why we three, the owners of the power plant, we have asked the government the continuity of the Almaraz power plant. So that means in this moment only depend on the decision of the central government the continuity of this power plant. There are not any another limitation. Technically, they are allowed to operate. Socially, it's a demand. Economically, it's the best solution. And in terms of the operation of the system, is needed for keeping already the service operative. So I think it's the energy policies made by the government. The government have to take the decision, and they will explain the consequences, whatever decision they will take about.
Another trendy topic in Spain, can you provide an update on the latest developments regarding the regulatory framework for networks in Spain and how would the remuneration rate below 7% affect your investment plans?
You are talking about networks.
Networks in Spain.
Yeah, I think that, networks in Spain for us is quite small compared with the networks you have in other countries. I think it's the fourth in terms, as you saw in our presentation, is the fourth of all our RAP in the different countries. The first one, largest RAP, is in the state. The second largest RAP is in UK. The third largest RAP is in Brazil. And the fourth is Spain. So I think it's small compared with the rest. But saying that, I think as far as I know, the still that is in process, they are not new news. I think I had already heard is they are already make a public consult about the terms which have been proposed, but we have no more detail of that one. I think something which is clear is either the government, the central government, either the different government of the region are asking for the need of more investment in networks. So I think if that is not a proper framework, I doubt that this extraordinary investment which is needed, so is going to be made as faster as it will require.
Next, how are the increasing costs of ancillary services being managed, and to what extent are these costs being passed through to the customer as contracts are renewed?
Pedro?
I think as of September, yes, we have a negative impact because of our multi-year contracts. But of course, these costs are being passed through as contracts are renewed. We expect, by 26, 70% of these already through customers and almost 90% by 27.
Next is regarding the UK. What is the company's perspective on the current regulatory environment in the UK, particularly regarding the RIIO-T3 framework?
I think we have very fluent dialogue with the regulator. I think recently I met personally the chair of Ofgem. I think they are aware about the need of sufficient profitability remuneration and financiability for already to make to attract the investment needed. I think it's certain they make already a draft determination, which is the base of our rate case plan. I think our business plan is already just based in this draft determination. But I think I'm sure that the sensibility of GEM is such that I hope that is a potential improvement during the negotiation, which to make certain upside, but we will know the final determination by December. So I think now we are in the process of that one. But I think we are very open dialogue with the regulator, I think ourselves and another two players on this one. And I think they are, my feeling is that they are already very sensible about the need of making already some adjustment to facilitate to make the huge investment which are needed.
Next is, can you provide details and expectation on your strategy for the AR7 auction in the UK?
So, as you know, we have already East Anglia One North ready to participate that one. So I think we have a competitive project. We have all the security, all the supply chain secure. But I think we, you know, we are very disciplined in terms of profitability criteria. I think yesterday I heard the final budget has been published, which I think only 900 million allocated to offshore. But I think the flexibility to the Secretary of Energy to increase this amount depending on the numbers of bidders. I think this number, if the remind like it is, in my feeling, my opinion, is not sufficient to achieve the country objective in terms of power, in terms of decarbonization. I think there are other changes in this ER7. They increase the life of the CFDs from 15 to 20 years. And I think they already make a reference price, which is 11% higher than the previous one. So, which I think that would sense, but I think the budget, in my opinion, is absolutely insufficient. And I think if the Secretary of Energy has already the power to modify the numbers after the auction, if that is not modified, my feeling is should be difficult to achieve the target which they are already thinking in terms of power, new power, and in terms of decarbonization when they are already looking. But new power, in my opinion, they will not already achieve the numbers they were thinking about.
Next is, what is the current status of the Mexico operation, and when do you expect regulatory approvals to be finalized?
I think in Mexico, you mentioned.
Yeah, the deal in Mexico, the pending deal in Mexico.
Well, I think, you know, the agreement is signed. As far as I know, the buyer has already secured the financing, almost secure. And I think now we are depending on the approvals of the different authorities. But as far as I know, the things are ongoing. I think this week our Mesonero, which is our M&A guy, I think is in Mexico. And I think he will take fresh news already next week. So, but I think we are not already, we have not any negative input about that one, and I think they are going already according with schedule.
Two last questions. The first one is probably for Pepe. Effective tax rate is below historical average. Should we expect this effective tax rate to be kept at similar level at the year end?
Well, yeah, I think that we will have an effective tax rate at the year end to be around 20%. Let me explain that this is below, basically, for several reasons. First of all, because right now the contribution of countries with a lower tax rate is higher than in previous years. So the UK and the US versus Mexico and Brazil. An impact that it is reducing the tax rate this year is, as I mentioned, the UK smart meters capital gain in the first 9 months is at the gross and net, so there is no tax impact here. Last year, the thermal capital gain was affected by the Mexican corporate tax rate. And finally, as I mentioned, last year we had a negative impact in the taxes due to hedges that we had in and had a positive impact in our financial expenses, and this year is the opposite. We are having a negative impact due to the last year transaction, a negative impact in our financial expenses due to the Mexican FX hedges that is compensated at the tax level, no? So all in all, that is the explanation why this year, in the first 9 months, the tax rate is below 20%, and the expectation is that by the end of the year, the tax rate will be around this 20%, as I mentioned.
And last question is related to Spain and the contribution of the hydro production in terawatt hour in 2025, which is our expectation related to the average traditional average year.
So just looking here at the numbers, I think up to today, I think our production of hydroelectric is around 18 terawatt hours, which I think is an increase on around 3 to 4% to our previous year. approximately 2/3 is traditional, conventional, and 1/3 is pumping storage. So I see pumping storage is taking their important role on this one. And I think now the reserves is on the range of 6 terawatt hours. And I think that now is again starting raining, which I think heavily. So which I think in a few days, we hope the inversion will increase. I think that is, I think in terms of the year, I think it's important, but it is 3% more. But that is not the key of our result. As you know, our result is coming from other sources. Even in Spain, the result is not going, is not as good as last year because of the prices and the ancillary service, etc. But I think it's a good news in terms that our reserves are high, and they probably with these rains which are now coming and expected, I think the reserve can be already maintained, which should be a good thing for next year as well, a contribution to the next year profits or next year results. So I think that's good. But I think the news is 3%, 3 to 4% more than previous year. Pumping is 1/3, 2/3 is traditional. And the reserves are in a good shape, very high. But I think that is already there room for increasing those ones if the rainfall is continuing as the range as the expectation we have in this moment. With that gave already certain possible, let's say, extra result for 2026.
We have received as well a final question regarding the guidance for 2026, but probably this is something that we will be delivering next February. So we anticipate something on the Capital Markets Day, but I mean, for those that has asked this question, in February will be the deadline. So just to finish this event, please let me know the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude the presentation.
So thank you very much, as always, for your very clever, intelligent, and very good questions. And thank you very much for participating, taking part of this conference. And if there are any new questions that you consider, I think our investor relation will be ready, as always, to give you additional information you may require. Thank you very much, and see you soon. Thank you.